Good morning. Morning. Let's turn our Bibles to Colossians. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 through 14. Colossians 1, 9 through 14. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light, for He rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for this morning. We thank you for being with us. Thank you for bringing us to EMP where we can start our day with prayer and worship and your word. And just thank you for everyone that's here, God, in their heart, just to pray and to seek your face and ask that your presence would be manifest here, that we would be encouraged and strengthened through your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bobby Connor, when he was at the retreat, I believe it was in his first message, and he said something about the book of Colossians. Do you guys remember? I just can't remember exactly what he said, but he said something about if we study the book of Colossians, something really good will happen. I just can't quite remember, so I got to go back and listen to it. But I remember thinking, oh, I should take some time to read through Colossians and to study it and get into it. That's why I started doing it. But I just can't remember exactly what he said. But he said something, you know, like some crazy breakthrough is going to come as you read and study the book of Colossians. So I thought, you know what? We should listen to what God is saying through Bobby Connor. So I encourage you to do the same too. But I'll go back and listen to exactly what he said about the breakthrough that could come through the study of the book of Colossians. In this passage that we read, it's Paul. So Colossians, it's a letter written by Paul to the church in Colossae. And he is apparently quite happy with them. He begins by saying, man, I'm so thankful and I hear how well you're doing, right? That's how he begins the letter. And so it's quite, he seems to be quite encouraged and excited about these believers in Colossae. And then he goes on to express his prayer for the church in Colossae. So that's what we just read. From verse 9, it says, for this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. And so he's saying, man, this is the thing that I pray for you all the time. I pray this prayer all the time for you. And so this is Paul's prayer and his heart for the believers in Colossae. And so this is his desire for them. This is Paul's desire for how these guys would live their lives. And I think this prayer applies to us as well. You know, if this was Paul's desire for his disciples in Colossae, for sure that is a good desire for us to have for ourselves as well. Also, if you're a house church leader or a leader of any kind, this could be your prayer for the people that you minister to, right? I mean, it's a very easy way to kind of figure out, God, how should I pray for my people? How should I pray for my house church members, my youth group, my college group students, or whoever I lead? And you could just borrow this and say, God, this was Paul's heart for them.
I'm going to borrow it for myself and for our group, and also for yourself. So, you know, as we read this, you can just say, God, I want you to do the same to me, you know? I'm reading from the NIV. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will. And you can say, God, I ask you to fill me with the knowledge of your will. And at the same time, I think we want to spend some time doing it today. We could pray it corporately, you know, and say, God, I ask that you would fill us, our church, you know, Solomon's Porch, that you would fill us with the knowledge of your will. And then thirdly, we can pray for your people. You know, God, I ask that you would fill them, my students, my house church members. God, fill them with the knowledge of your will. So anyway, so I wanted to study the prayer, share a little bit about it so that we can be encouraged through it and know. I mean, Paul was like the greatest discipler maybe in the history of the church, you know, and this was his desire for the people that he was leading. Yeah, we could learn from this, and we can say, God, I think that if we can make this our goal in our lives also, that will be a good way for us to live. So he starts off, the objective of his prayer, if you read through, is verse 10. Verse 10, so he's asking, in verse 9, he's asking that God would fill them with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. But verse 10 really is his goal. Verse 10 is, this is why he wants them to be filled with the knowledge of God's will. It's verse 10. And verse 10 is this, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord and to please him in all respects. To please God. So walk in a manner worthy of God and please him in all respects. In the ESV, it says that we would be able to fully please God. So he's saying, Paul is saying, I'm praying this for you. I'm praying that you would be filled with the knowledge of his will, you know, with the understanding and wisdom that comes from the Spirit, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of God and that you would fully please him. That is his goal. You know, Paul's saying, man, this is my goal. This is what I want you to do, disciples, church. This is what I want for you, that you would walk in a manner worthy of God and that you would fully please him. So my question this morning to us is, do you want to please God? Do you want to live a life that is worthy of God and fully pleasing to him? In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9, Paul says, let me read this to us. 2 Corinthians 5, 9, he says, so we make it our goal to please him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. So he says, we make it our goal to please God. And other translations would say, we make it our ambition to please God. The Bible doesn't talk a lot about ambition. There isn't a lot of positive things to say about being very ambitious in the scriptures, but this is one instance where it uses ambition in a positive way, and it says, we make it our ambition to please God. What is your ambition? You know, is it to be very successful? Is it to make a name for yourself? I don't know what your ambition is, but Paul says we make it our ambition to please God. You know, when he says we make it our goal, that means it's not necessarily a natural thing. Right? He wasn't born into this world thinking, man, it's my desire to please God. But he's saying, I make it my ambition. I make it my goal, meaning I discipline myself to say, this, I'm going to make this my goal. My goal is not to have a comfortable life. My goal is not to be entertained, you know. My goal is not to make sure that I I don't know. I mean, sometimes I feel like my goal is just to be entertained, you know? My goal in life is to make sure that I just have a lot of fun and I get to watch a lot of TV. I don't know. Sometimes on my day off, maybe in our days off, that's really when we see what is our goal in life. And my goal often is just to watch a bit of Netflix and YouTube, just to veg. I make it my goal to relax and watch TV. What is my ambition in life? And Paul says, I make it my goal to please him. So my question to you is that, do you want to please God? Do you want to live a life worthy of the Lord? We got to start from there. And if not, we just need to pray. Hopefully you can at least pray this prayer and say, God, right now, my goal is not necessarily to please you. Right now, I'm not burning with the desire to live a life in a manner that is worthy of you, but I want it. You know, I want that to be the case for me. I want to live a life in a manner that is worthy of you, so would you do something? And hopefully you can at least pray that prayer and say, God, I'm so far off this goal, but I want it. So Paul says, man, that is why I'm praying for you. I'm praying that you be filled with the knowledge of his will so that you will live a life in a manner that is worthy of God and fully pleasing to him. So I hope that encourages you, that stirs you up, you know? And so what Paul is saying is for us to live a life in a manner that is worthy of him, we need to be filled with the knowledge of his will. That makes sense, right? Unless we know what is God's will, we won't be able to live this life in a manner that is pleasing to him and worthy of him. But Paul is saying to know the will of God, we need spiritual wisdom and spiritual understanding. And in the NIV, it says it is wisdom and understanding that the Holy Spirit gives to you. It's a Spirit-given wisdom and understanding. So we need Spirit-given wisdom and understanding to know what is the will of God. And if we know the will of God, and if we follow it, then we can live a life that is worthy of him and is fully pleasing to him. So, obviously, we need to pray for that. You know, you need to pray for that for yourself and say, God, I need your wisdom, I need your understanding to know what is your will. And we pray for our friends, our people in that way. I only have 5 minutes, so I can just list it out. But there's four things that Paul says is pleasing to God, right? To live a life in a manner that is worthy of him and fully pleasing to him in every way, he lists four things in this prayer, right? Number one is bearing fruit in every good work. Number two, let me read from the NASB. Okay, can you follow along? Verse 10, bearing fruit in every good work. Okay, that's the first thing that he mentions. And second, increasing in the knowledge of God. Third, he says, strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. But that is not necessarily the prayer. The purpose of the strengthening is this, the attaining of all steadfastness and patience. So Paul is saying to please God and to live a life that is worthy of him, we need to bear fruit in every good work. We need to be increasing in the knowledge of God. And third, we need to have steadfastness and patience, endurance and patience. And the last thing it says, joyously giving thanks to the Father. Okay, so those four things, bearing fruit in every good work, increasing in our knowledge of him. Third, having all endurance and patience and steadfastness. And lastly, joyfully giving thanks to him. If we could live those four things out, then it's a life that is pleasing to God. It's a life that is worthy of Him. Go back and read it. You know, you have to kind of parse through and see, okay, what is the objective that Paul is saying? And then some of the things is how you get there, right? Being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, that is for the attaining of steadfastness and patience. So what he's really praying for is steadfastness and patience. How we get there is to be strengthened with Him. Okay, so there's so many things to say, right? Good works, bearing fruit in all good works. We're called to do good works. I mean, that encompasses so many things, you know, preaching the gospel, giving, being generous, spending our time. I was just thinking for our church, within the body, a good work could be giving somebody a call. You know, there's people in our church that have experienced loss. Loss of their parents, loss of their grandparents, loss of a job. Just going through a tough time. And you know, I mean, there's people listed on EMP, you know, and you could give them a call and say, hey, man, hey, sister, I just heard about you. I was thinking about you. I'm praying for you. How are you doing? I think that makes a big difference than just not doing it. I mean, it's great to pray for that person. Yes, that's good. That's a good work too. Coming to EMP, praying for that person, that is good work. But also taking that extra time just to call, give them a call or send them a text, you know, and say, how are you doing? I think giving them a call is better than sending them a text. Maybe meeting up with them. So, I mean, that's something that I just thought of. But that's an example of good work. Growing in the knowledge of God. Are we growing in the knowledge of Him or have we stayed stagnant? You know, Sean Smith, some of you guys know him. He was our retreat speaker many, many, many years ago. He said something. He said his greatest fear is that he would look back a year from now and see that he is in the exact same place that he was at a year ago. Right? Do we even care about? How many of us, 5 years, we look back 5 years and we go, oh, I'm kind of the same place. Man, that is not good. So are we growing in the knowledge of Him? You know, you will never fully know God, right? God is infinite. God has no limit. If you're here thinking, man, I know Him enough, wrong. You don't know Him enough. I mean, how can you will never exhaust your knowledge of who God is, right? Because He is infinite. He has no limit to who He is, His love, His greatness, His majesty, His holiness, His glory has no limits. And so we can every day, technically, right, we can be increasing always in our knowledge of Him. But sometimes, I mean, most likely why we don't increase is because we've stopped pursuing. We've stopped digging, right? We've stopped. We've just kind of said, I have enough. Or, I don't know. We've grown complacent, we've grown, what's the word? You know, we've grown familiar with God, and we just don't care. So he says, oh, man, we need to continue to grow. And then third, having great endurance and patience. I think because life is sometimes difficult, we're not, you know, these guys, I mean, when they're reading this, I think they really had what they understood that this life was not it, and that they were waiting for something else. They were waiting for the kingdom of God to come. They were waiting for the second coming of Jesus in a very real way. And life was difficult, right? There was persecution. Because of their faith, there was difficulty. And so they had to really endure and be steadfast, be faithful. But man, I want to get to the last point, which is verse 12. Joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. For He rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son. He rescued us from the domain of darkness and has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. This is what He has done. He has rescued us We're all in the domain of darkness before, but now he has rescued us and he has qualified us. And so Paul is saying, I want you to be joyfully giving thanks. What this is talking about is this tender and grateful heart. Tender and grateful heart. Paul is saying, I want you to have this tender and grateful heart at what he has done for you all the time. Not just the day you gave your life to God, not just when you are at the retreat and you experience something, but every day I want you to be joyfully giving thanks to God for what he has done. Not losing this heart of gratitude, this tenderness, you know, that is so moved by what he has done. I want to say this. It says in verse 12, he has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. So very quickly, I wanted to go back to, you know how Jesus gave us that parable about the kingdom of God and how there's a fisherman that goes out and they catch all this fish. And then Jesus says there comes a day when the fisherman is going to look at the fish and he's going to say, this is good and this is bad. And he says, that's what the kingdom of God is like, right? And that one day we know that there is going to be this separation process. And I just want to borrow from that image. And I want you to understand what has happened for us is every single one of you, every single one of us, myself included, we are bad fish. We are fish that have gone bad. We are fish maybe that is too small or too jacked up or too dirty or whatever. All of us needed to be in the bad pile, in the garbage pile. Like, this fish sucks. I'm not going to eat this fish. This fish is no good for anybody. It's gone bad. And we deserve to be in this pile. But what Jesus has done is he has qualified us to go into this pile. But for nothing that we have done. And I was thinking, a great image of this is, you know, we have a few sisters in our staff who are very waste conscious, right? They don't want to waste food. They don't want to throw away anything. I'm the type that just wants to throw away everything. Cookies that have been left out 2 days, I'm like, nobody's eating this. Let's chuck it in the garbage. Nobody's eating this. You know, I just want to throw things away. But Yiling is a good example. If you don't know Yiling, you can get to know her. Janela is another example who just doesn't want to throw away anything. And they'll say, no, don't chuck it. We can do something with it. We can make this into something. And what they do is, to me, what seems like garbage, they would take it and they would qualify it into something beautiful. Right? Not all the time. Sometimes they'll say, no, keep it. And then it just is kept forever. And then I'll just chuck it if I'm not. No one's doing anything. But every once in a while, they'll say, no, don't chuck it. And then they'll turn it into something that is edible. They'll turn it into something that is beautiful. They'll turn it into something that is useful. Right? And that's what God has done. What it was garbage, which is you and me, is garbage. You know, we deserve to be thrown away, chucked. I mean, look at your life. Honestly, we're garbage. But he has taken us and he has qualified us to be with him and to be in the kingdom of light. And Paul is saying, don't lose sight of that. Don't lose that gratitude and that, you know, that passion, that, I don't know how you say it, the movement of the heart, you know. Don't let your heart stop being tender and stop being moved at what he has done. So, and he says that is part of, you know, the four things that make a life that is worthy of him. I mean, there's so much more, right, we could say. So, you know, go back and study, but I'm going to ask Janela to lead us in a song. And let's just go to God. Let's go back to maybe the first question is, God, do I have this passion and desire to fully please you? You know, is that my ambition and goal in life? Is that really how I live my life? You know, do I want to live a life that is worthy of you, that is fully pleasing to you? And if that's not the case, you know, let's just say, God, I want this in my heart, God. So let's just go before God. And if that is already the case, you know, praise God. And let's just pray again and say, Lord, that is my heart, God. That really is my heart. Even though I don't do it, you know, I forget it so often. When it really comes down to it, God, that is my goal. That is my heart. So let's just go to God and say, Lord, help me. And then we can just focus on the fourth point that I kind of stressed, which is, God, help me to joyfully give thanks for what you have done for me. So let's just worship.
More than words can say, I need you more.
Thank you. Yes, God, we need you, Lord. Can we pray together? Let's just pray together for our church. You can have this passage with you. And just want to encourage you. Let's just pray out loud. Just kind of read this passage and say, God, this is my prayer for SP. God, you can start from the second half of verse 9. I ask that you may fill, that we may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that we will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. So I can just pray, but we pray this passage, and let's just pray and intercede for SP, for our church. We don't just come for myself, but we come to intercede and lift up our church and to pray for our church. So can we do that? Don't just check out, but read through this passage and make this a prayer for SP. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Let's pray for our community. I like what Tony asked us to do last time, which is just to pick one person from the list and really just go after it and intercede for that person. It's a long list, right? So just ask God to help you pick one person. If you picked one person last week, pick someone else today and just say, let's just go after it for that one person. Let's pray. Let's go to the second slide. Let's pray for those that need salvation as well as healing. Again, pick one person, pick one family. Let's go after it. Let's pray together. Thank you. Let's go pray for those that are just have various infirmities. Let's just pray for God's healing to come, God's touch to come. Let's pray that they won't be discouraged in this time. Let's pray. Let's pray for those of us that are looking for a job. Let's pray for God's provision. Let's pray that God would lead them to the right interviews, to the right places. Let's pray. Let's pray for our Tuesday prayer focus. Let's pray for Hong Kong. Let's just lift up this city. Let's thank the Lord for this city and for our government. Let's bless our government. Let's pray for wisdom to make the right decisions. Let's pray for all the different things listed there, for all the churches here, the different ministries that we support. Let's pray for God's provision and anointing for these ministries, for the churches. Let's pray that there will be a revival here. Let's pray specifically for some of the people that are most affected in Hong Kong, the young people that, you know, so stressed out and they commit suicide. So let's pray against them. Let's pray for the domestic helper. Let's pray for especially the families that are in poverty, that are distressed, and for their children. Let's pray for them. Let's pray for the staff. PSAM is coming back this week, Friday. So let's pray for a safe trip back. Pray that he will be encouraged and refreshed as he comes back. Let's pray for the rest of the staff to work well together, to be anointed, to be full of faith, and to be united. So let's pray for the staff. Pray for our hospitality team. Pray for the welcoming team and the barista team. Let's just pray for a real heart of love go forth from everyone that's serving. Let's pray for more people to join these teams, the right people to join the teams. Pray especially for Pastor Andrew as he leads the welcoming team. Pray for wisdom and strength and to be able to really motivate well, and also Ashley as she leads Bruce. Let's pray. Let's pray for the worship and sound and AV team. Let's pray for a heart of worship. Let's pray that through our worship team, God would be glorified. And let's pray that our church would be able to enter into real worship through our through these three teams. Let's pray for a heart of excellence. Let's pray for our equipment to not have any issues and for it to be very smooth. So let's pray for these three teams. Let's pray lastly for our SPLI for today. Just pray for everyone, please, all the students, to have a God-given joy and ability to play well and to learn how to worship and play guitars. Let's pray for our class. Father God, thank you. Thank you that we can take this time just to pray to you and to come before you. Yeah, I pray, God, that you will help us to really live a life that is worthy of God. Man, that's a tall order, Lord. I pray that you will help us, God. We know that we can't do it on our own. I pray that you would put that desire in us, God, to live for you, that we will be transformed by your love and by your kindness and mercy that you have shown to us, God. And so, yeah, Holy Spirit, we just give this day to you. We open our hearts to you. We ask that you would come and fill us today. God, we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day today.